I want to look first at Deuteronomy 28, verse 66. Deuteronomy 28, verse 66. This is the first mention in the Word of God of the word assurance. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 66, the Bible said, "And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life." I don't have time tonight to read the whole chapter, but I did read it before I came to church. I did read it as I studied. What's going on in chapter number 28 here is simply this. God is telling the children of Israel, if you'll walk with me and you'll obey my commandments, he's telling them, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your fields. I'm going to bless your crops. I'm going to bless your families. I'm just going to pour blessings upon blessings upon blessings. That's what's going to happen. I thought it was interesting that the first mention of the word assurance is in a negative light. And it's the only mention of the word assurance that's in a negative light. In other words, when he said, "Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life." What he's talking about here in the second part of the chapter, he says, now if you want to walk your own way, you want to walk contrary to my commandments, he said, just like I've rejoiced over you to bless you, he said, I'm going to rejoice over you to bring a curse upon you. He even talked about the curses that he had brought upon the Egyptians in days gone by. In other words, God was warning the children of Israel, amen, if you go contrary to my will, contrary to my way, you're not going to have that assurance. You're not going to have that. And I think a couple of things going on here tonight. Well, I'd really want to get to Isaiah, and I will, Lord willing. I'm not going to get to all seven of them tonight, but I would like to get to Isaiah. I believe, first of all, the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said we're conceived in iniquity. So I believe there's something to the first mention of the word assurance being in a negative light, because that's not something we're born with. That's not something that comes naturally. That's something that comes supernaturally. That's something that comes with a new birth. Now, I've had people ask me, so, preacher, what about the children? Here's what I say, and I believe it's true. I believe the Bible backs me up on this. The children are not saved. The children are safe. The reason I say that is because David, the man after God's own heart, his baby died, and David washed his face. He sent for something to eat, and he said, I cannot go. I cannot bring the child back, but I can go be where the child is. And I believe that child was in the presence of God when he said that, don't you? Also, another proof text, if you read the book of Job, some people will argue, well, God didn't double everything in the end of the book of Job, the cattle and all of that, because God only gave him 10 children in chapter 42. No, Job had 20 children. Children are different than cattle. Children have a soul. Job had 10 on earth and 10 in glory. Amen. So he had 10 children given to him, but it still doubled his children. And I believe that's a proof text, amen, about the soul of men. The children are saved. They come to an age where the children understand that though they've been safe, they may not even realize that. But they come to an age where they begin to feel guilty. Let me just say this to you. There is a time in our lives, if we'll think back, it doesn't matter how old we are tonight, if we'll think back, there's a time in our life when we sinned because it was just in our nature. It's in Sawyer's nature to take something to his sister's head. It's just in his nature, amen? Somebody said, if you don't believe in the sin nature, just put two babies in one crib and give them one bottle. You'll find out something about the sin nature. There's a time when we sin just because it's in our nature, but But I'm going to tell you something. There's a time comes in our life when we sin because we choose to. And when we sin and we're making choices to sin, we're deliberately sinning. It's not too long after that till something called guilt's going to begin to build up in our life. How many's with me tonight? And if we're not careful, on top of the guilt, shame. And then we're going to reach an age where we're going to try to get rid of that some way, somehow. And Brother Brian, he didn't come right out and say it Sunday, but I may be wrong, but I think I know what's in his heart. There is a danger. There is a danger with the children. Children hear a message on hell, and anybody in their right mind don't want to go to hell. Children hear a message on heaven, and anybody in their right mind wants to go to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. We're guilty in our churches and have been for years of leaving off the necessity for the working of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter. That doesn't mean a child can't be saved. A child can be saved, but he'll get saved just like an adult. The Holy Ghost will have to deal with them. It can't be a mom or a dad or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. I think when I thought about that just now, I didn't plan on saying this, but when Aubrey was trying to get out of the Sunday school room, and she told the girls, y'all go on, and she turned around because she didn't want to go any further. Something was going on in her heart. It wasn't two Sunday school teachers in there, Sister Gwen and Sister Helen, trying to talk them into doing something or trying to push them into doing something. They're just teaching them the Word of God, and she's hearing the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit brought her to a place of conviction. I say this, I've said it for years, and it's still the truth. If there's no conviction, there's no conversion. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. We believe that around here, don't we? Amen? Yeah. Amen. And so here, there's no assurance as a result of rebellion. I'll say this tonight. I believe a child of God, a true born-again child of God, can lose the assurance. If they're living in open rebellion, what kind of God would a holy God be that would just keep allowing us to have blessed assurance if we're living in open rebellion? I believe that one of two things is going to happen. I believe either, I know God's going to speak to that individual, a Christian that's living in sin. You can see it in the book of Corinthians, or the young man was committing incest with his stepmother, and God told Paul, he said, turn such a one over to Satan. And a lot of people don't believe this, but said for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul may be saved in the day of judgment. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, we're not of them that turn back unto perdition. We don't believe that, but we believe to the saving of the soul. But we do believe this, there is a sin unto death. I believe a person can get messed up. A saved person can get messed up. I believe that. And I believe that God is saying right here, the first mention is in the negative light. It's not something that we just have all of our life. You know, you can be in a good family. You can be in a good church. You can hear preaching and teaching and singing. But I'm telling you, beloved, only a personal encounter with a holy God can give the assurance that this Bible talks about. Only. Look with me, if you will, please, I could spend a lot of time in Deuteronomy. How many will go home and read that chapter or read it in the morning? Will you do that? I want you to see the blessings in the first part of the chapter. God says obedience is going to bring blessing, and that's still true. When we get saved, we're still supposed to obey God, right? Obedience will bring blessing. But disobedience will bring chastisement. That's what the New Testament teaches on the child of God. And the Bible said if we're without it, without chastisement, he said, then are you bastards and not sons. Reminds me of something Brother Mitchell said. Oh, I tell you, as long as I've got a mind at all, I'll never forget it. When he said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. Boy, I like that. That's contrary to what a lot of people are preaching and teaching these days. Amen. If you've ever repented, you're still repenting. Look at Isaiah 32 with me for just a moment, please. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 32. Do you find it interesting tonight that the first mention of the word assurance in the Bible is in that negative light like that? Where he said, thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, thou shalt fear day and night, shall have none assurance of thy life. Boy, you're gonna find some good reading in that chapter. Just center it around that. And I believe God will bless you for reading that. Look at Isaiah chapter 32 and verse number 17. This is where we'll probably as far as we'll get tonight. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse number 17. Well, I'm going to read some more because this just needs to be read. Look at verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. Does anybody know a man that's a hiding place? Charity and Laura, they sang a song entitled, God is our refuge. The Bible said in the book, and I can't remember what book, it's one of Paul's epistles, and your life is hid with God in Christ. He's our hiding place tonight. A man shall be a hiding place. It's this prophecy concerning the Lord. And a covert from the tempest as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that shall see, that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall no more called liberal, shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, you women that are at ease. Hear my voice, you careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall be troubled, you careless women, for the vintage shall fail, and the gathering shall not come. Tremble, you women that are at ease. Be troubled. Be careless, you careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Again, now watch, I'm getting to verse 17, but in the chapter you have both sides of the coin. But watch what he said in verse number 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance. I love those last two words, forever. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. You say, preacher, what is the work of righteousness? The Word of God tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's not on our merit. It's not in our effort. It's when a sinner encounters the Savior, he realizes who he is. Brother Brian said Sunday, he takes sides with God against himself, and then there's going to be a work of righteousness take place in that individual's life. And the word of God said here, the work of righteousness shall be peace. Let me say something to you tonight. There's not ever been a church where memberships in that church can produce peace. There's never been enough money in a man's billfold that he could give enough money that would produce peace. There's never been enough good deeds that a man could do, enough morality. And beloved, listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. We're living in a day and age when there's more morality among sinners lots of times than there are the saints of God. But there's never been enough morality to produce peace in a person's life. I ran into a lady the other day at the hospital. And I'm not going to call her name because I know this goes out, but I ran into her and I said, "Are you?" And I named her name. And she said, "Yes, you baptized me." And I knew who she was. I mean, I called her name. But anyway, I went to her home. She was a mother of a lady that I pastored. Went to her home. And I said, "You know, this erases all..." Listen to this question. I said, "If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" That may not be the first question that I ask an individual, but that's the question I'm getting to. I may walk up to them and say, "Where do you go to church? Do you go to church? What church do you go to?" But really, that's not what I'm after. Amen? But let me say something. I believe that's a better question. And my next question might be, have you ever been saved? Or do you know Christ as your Savior? Nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. There's a lot of different ideas of what it is to be saved. And there's a lot of people, Brother Wayne, in the jail that say, "Yeah, I've been saved. I've been saved. You know, I smoked marijuana all my life and I drink my beer and I got four wives." You understand what I mean? Yeah, but I've been saved. The Bible said he shall save his people, not in their sins, but from their sin. I believe that tonight. I don't believe we're perfect. 1 John tells us if we do that, we deceive ourselves if we even think that. But it's all right to know we've been forgiven. It's all right to know, beloved, listen, that though we're not perfect, his righteousness is perfect, and we're not getting to heaven on our perfection, we're getting to heaven on his perfection. That's why I enjoy blessed assurance every day, because I know it's not what I do and don't do that determines my relationship with Christ. It's what I did with Christ that determines that relationship. I received him as my Savior, received the pardon. Now what I do and don't do determines my fellowship with Christ. Two different things. Two totally different things. But the Bible's talking about here this work of peace. I said to this lady, I said, "If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven?" She said, "I believe I would." She was sincere. It was not lightly said. She said, "I believe I would." I said, "Well," and I called her name. I said, what makes you think you would?" And she said this. She said, "Well, we've always tried to be good people." Red flag. She said, "We've always just tried to be a good neighbor. We've always paid our bills," she said, "Brother Steve. We don't hurt anybody. We try to be good to everybody." And I let her talk. And it didn't take long, maybe just a minute or so, and she stacked those things up like that. Now, she didn't say we go to church or we pray or we read our Bible, but it wouldn't have mattered if she had been saying those things. She didn't say any of those things. It wouldn't have mattered. And I said to her, I called her name, and I said, "Can I ask you something?" I said, "If the Bible says one thing, and you or I say another thing, which one would be right?" She didn't hesitate, Brother Steve. She said, "The Bible." You can help somebody that believes that. I turned over to the book of Titus, where it said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I turned over to the book of Ephesians where it said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And for the life of me, I don't know how to illustrate it any better. The look that came on her face was just like if you rounded the corner and a youngin' had their hand in the cookie jar and they wasn't supposed to be getting a cookie. How many knows that look? Say amen. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God began that work right then, right there. It wasn't long. And her husband had been out and her husband came home. And it wasn't long until I just had to start all over again. And both of them knelt at a coffee table. And no longer trusting their good deeds. I remember this well. I remember explaining to them, if you or I could get to heaven by being a good person, being a good neighbor, then tell me why did Jesus have to die on that old rugged cross? I'm telling you, beloved, that will sink in with people when they're trusting something other than Christ. Why did he have to die? If we can get there. And I've also told people this, what you're saying to God is, the cross is the biggest mistake this world has ever seen. Beloved, the cross is not a mistake. The Bible talks about assurance. It's a work of righteousness. It shall be peace. You know, I believe, as I spoke to that lady the other day, she still has that peace on her face. I believe that you can only get peace from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The effect of righteousness, what the Word of God say here, is quietness and assurance forever. You know how important it is. How important it is. When we're saved by God's grace, that we be sensitive to God's Spirit. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in this world that know nothing of God's peace. Marge and Jim are sitting back there. I believe they're more faithful than Brother John nowadays. You're welcome, Brother John. You can talk about me next Wednesday night when I'm gone, brother. Amen. I'm aggravating Brother John because I love him to death. But I'm going to tell you something. There was a time in that hospital room. They didn't know peace. But when they asked Jesus, the Lamb of God, to save them, all of a sudden things changed. There was a work of righteousness took place. It wasn't the preacher's righteousness. It was the Savior's righteousness. And they have peace. I'll be honest, Brother Jim, Sister Marge, Brother Jim was still sick for a long time after he got saved. And I think it was Easter Sunday. Was that the first Sunday he was able to come? They fooled around and they started coming to church. They found out we was having revival meetings and they come to revival meeting. They come back on Sunday night and come back on Wednesday night. They just run it in the ground. Brother Jim, you got some lost time to make up for, ain't you, buddy? All them years without him. Now you know him. You want to serve him. It's easy to preach to sponges. when you look back there and they're just soaking up everything you give them. I like it. The first mention, the result of a rebellion, there's none assurance. But the second mention, there's a work of righteousness. The Bible said it shall be peace. I've told you this before, maybe Brother Jim, Sister Marge, I know the brother from over at Good Shepherd ain't heard it. But my first cousin, his name was Bob. I got saved on Sunday night and went out on visitation on Tuesday night. And there was another young man in the church that wanted to go with me. And I said, I want to go see my first cousin. I said, I've got him on my heart. And we went, we knocked on the door, we went in. And I gave Bob the gospel. I told Bob, one of these down through here, Brother Brian, you'll really like it. It's, oh my goodness. I was hoping to get to more of this tonight, but the gospel of Christ is to be given in much assurance. In other words, Paul said down here, I'll get to this more later, but he said, our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. In other words, Paul knew what he was talking about. Paul wasn't just telling what he heard somebody else say. Paul knew that something happened that day on the road to Damascus. Every time he got up to preach, he talked about it, amen? He talked about meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. In other words, when I went and knocked on Bob's door, my first cousin, I had just much assurance, Brother Brian, that I had what he needed. Do you feel that way? When we go out visiting Saturday, do you believe you have something Bloomingdale needs? Let me rephrase that. You have someone Bloomingdale needs? This man over here, Sister, oh goodness, honey, Sister Kathy Dixon. What is it? That's her name, isn't it? Okay. I drew a blank for a minute. Sister Kathy's been having us to pray for Stanley Blair, and he's up there at Bristol. He's in bad, bad shape. He's got a brother that's lost. He said the other day, this is what it takes to get my brother to Jesus. So be it. I'm going Saturday to talk to Scotty again, Brother Ralph. He's getting ready to have surgery. But I want some of you older men to go. He's in his mid-70s. I figured that somebody like Brother John in his mid-70s could communicate with him. Say amen. 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 In other words, this man that's laying up there in Bristol dying, he's got much assurance that he's got what his brother needs. Amen. He's got what his brother needs. Went to Bob's and I tried to shut up. But Bob let me share the gospel with him. Bob knelt at the coffee table. You believe you can get saved at a coffee table? I believe you can get saved anywhere the Holy Ghost deals with your heart. How many of y'all remember Brother Herman Anderson? I'm going to tell you something. Every time I saw that man, even after he began to lose his memory, he talked about them three teenagers up there in Wise that got saved under a gazebo. He loved it. Bob got saved at the coffee table, and we got to sit on the couch. And y'all maybe remember me telling this, and if I live very long, I'll tell it again because I like telling it. I had Bob looking at 1 John chapter 5, Brother Brian. I said, look here, Bob, I want you to read this. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have. Bob's looking at it when I start. And when I get down to what I'm wanting him to say, I turn around and he's got his head thrown back on the back of the couch. He said, peace. I said, Bob, I want you to read the Bible with me. Look right here in the Bible. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have. And it got two or three syllables. Peace. Bob, please, would you look at the Bible? I want you to see what the Word of God has to say. He looks right in there. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? And this time it was four or five syllables. He said, peace. I said, forget it, Bob. You got peace. That's all matters. If you've ever encountered a work of righteousness, you'll have peace. You'll have peace. You'll have quietness. In other words, just that settledness in your spirit, in your soul. And you'll have assurance forever. You like that? Amen. I do too. Amen. I do too. I'm just glad you come tonight. Amen. Pray for us. Pray for the services Sunday, the visitation. I believe God's gonna use it. Her visitation, and it's just good to be able to tell people about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for our precious people. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the work of righteousness. Lord, you said that work produce peace, quietness, and assurance. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight. I love the song the choir sings. I know, my name is there. Oh God, just as sure as I know it's there, I know I don't deserve that. Thank you, Lord, for taking my place. Thank you, God, for giving me peace that passes all understanding. Lord, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Lord, I'm glad tonight that everyone that's met Christ in faith is ready to go. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us that are ready to go, to be a burden for others, to be a blessing to others, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit about speaking a word or giving a gospel track or maybe one of the cards that would point them to that video. Lord, the video is full of scripture. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Lord, I pray, help us, Lord, to see people saved, to see them encouraged. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen.